Thanks to Oz Equipment Rentals, it's time now to talk some footy here on RSN Central with Mickey Barlow and Dylan Buckley. Hello to you, first of all, Mick.
Hey, Gareth, Dylan, good to see you both. Big day, yep. Isn't it? Miserable day here in Melbourne, but big day of football news. It's all, and the jungle drums have been beating at Collingwood.
Going on, boys.
Can you believe it, Dylan Buckley? Hello to you. Nathan Buckley, did it surprise you that he decided to step down as the Collingwood Football Club coach? Not today. He announced that he'll be stepping down after Monday's match against Melbourne.
It did surprise me. It did surprise me, but I think Nathan Buckley, I was chatting to Mick about this off air, being a coach to be at the senior ranks, no one handles the media better. No one's as classy in the media, I don't think, a coach as Nathan Buckley. So there's got to be something in the works here. I think he's going to leave on, you know, held really high regard and still will be. And I think he'll have a coaching job next year, that's for sure. But there's a lot to play out with that one. I think there's still some things that we don't really know what's happening behind the scenes.
Do you think he was pushed, Mick? He's just spoken to the media. And basically the main message there was that he told the players how grateful he was spending so much time at this football club as a player. And this was his 10th season as the coach of the Collingwood Footy Club. Of course, he went really close to winning a premiership as a player, but especially as a coach there when Dom Sheed ruined that party a couple of years back. But he basically said he's had a great time and it's time for him to move on.
He rolled in February 1993, I'm led to believe. And what is it now? 2021, it's 28 years. Do the math. That's a big stint at one football club. He's the most, you know, for someone like me, 33 years old, my whole life, of any memory of Collingwood or, that football club, it revolves around that one figure in terms of Nathan Buckley. Eddie Maguire probably plays a significant role, but in terms of a holistic influence at a club, it's Nathan Buckley. Was I surprised? You probably are. Because of the 24/7 football media cycle, nothing really surprises you because you can access information so quickly. And probably what was going on with Carlton yesterday, this snuck up on a lot of people in terms of the abrupt nature of it today. And Nathan coming out in saying he's going to step down after Monday, I think, or my strong understanding, listening to his media conference before, was that he was nudged out essentially, and told, "Yep, it won't go beyond this year. So let's make a move now."
Do you think he'll coach again? Well, he's 48 years of age.
Well, it's his life, isn't it? Yeah. It's his life's work. It's what he knows. He's clearly good at it.
Yeah,
he's clearly good at it. Isn't
he? He's got plenty to give.
Yeah,
plenty.
He's that 2018. What he did with that group, he went within a kick. If you're nearly a premiership coach at the AFL level, he'll be highly. Yeah. Highly hunted down.
So, Mick, you're not saying, but this is what Bucks has said, that he was somewhat pushed out. Mm. Does that mean that Collingwood have someone ready to go to take that place?
Yeah, that would be a strong kind of link, wouldn't it?
Do you know the person?
I have not.
Has he coached you before?
Now, I am not.
Is it you?
I'm not Tom Brown. I'm not Tony Jones.
No.
On that, gee whiz, it was feeding day down at Holden's. On that Zoom conference today.
Who was best on ground in the media conference?
Your man, Tony Jones.
Okay.
Yeah, your man. He asked the question. You know, were you pushed or is this your decision?
Yep.
And the fact that Nathan Buckley didn't say, "No, my decision," he treaded water on that question would suggest that he was pushed, which would lean towards that they've got a short list of candidates. And being the Collingwood Football Club, you'd imagine that short list would involve names like Clarkson, Lyon, right at the top of the tree, wouldn't you?
And Mick Barlow.
I'd hope so.
He's 101 into 20 to 1.
You're only as good as your last game, 160 points.
Graham Wright says, on finding a replacement, that it will begin straight away, but the decision as to what we do going forward is to follow. We'll have a group come together to search for the best coach. How do they do that when they're uncertain or unsure who will be the president of that football club going forward?
It looks like there's a bit going on there. I really can't unpack it all. I think that they're saying that. I think they've got a good idea of who the next coach would be. Otherwise, these conversations, I don't think, would have happened. Like, Buckley probably wouldn't have left. If they were giving him the indication that he wasn't going to be there, they wouldn't be giving him that if they didn't have something planned.
He made a comment late last week around his support and unwavering support to the current president.
Mark Corder.
Yeah, which I think a few people found interesting in terms of, yes, you're going to support, but he was, incredibly unwavering in the way he said, right, I trust our president and our board at the moment, and you know, I'm all in with them, essentially. So that again, you know, if you're reading between the lines, there's a lot happening there, and what goes on beyond within that boardroom going forward. It's an unknown.
Sorry, G-man. A board's having too much say. I know that's their job, yeah. But like, far out. I feel like they're just getting involved in a lot at the moment. This year, I've just never heard of boards more. Like, is this normal? Like, I don't know.
Well, it happens with football clubs when they're struggling at the moment, like Collingwood has on and off the field. It's been a PR disaster, basically, from trade period to the Eddie Maguire leaving as the president of that football club. Their problems, of course, with the season on the field. So there's been a little bit going on there at Collingwood, and Carlton's the same. Mm. They lost that unlosable game in a way with all of those Eagles out on Sunday at the SCG. There's zip and seven against sides in the top eight in 2021. So when that happens, then the supporters want answers. They want change in a way because they're not happy with what's happening with the footy club. So the board, that's their job. They have to make these decisions.
Yeah. And the Carlton situation, you can tell that there is, you know, mixed messaging coming out of that group from players, from coaching group, and there is a sense of unevenness in terms of what's going on there.
So just with Collingwood and Carlton, we'll start with the Collingwood situation. I don't know if you've been involved in a situation like this, lads, but what happens, so Nathan Buckley speaks to the playing group this morning before the media conference, says, well, this is my last game on Monday. So how does the playing group, how do they react, and what would be the feeling like inside that playing group right now?
Well, I'll never forget the day Mick Malthouse got sacked. That was one of the most unbelievable scenes I've ever seen. We were in the club. We got called in, you know, emergency meeting. Everyone's waiting at the club. There's a live cross. We're watching the TV. There's a live cross. We're seeing Mick walk across Princess Park into the change rooms, waiting at the TV right where the entry is, see him walking in, see the camera straight in there. Yeah. He announces he's, you know, going to leave the club. And Mick, have you sat it with the coach before? It's a really bad feeling.
And now that, you know, Mark Harvey got sacked 10 years ago, essentially 2011. 10 years on, now players would have found out this through social media murmurings, and a lot of them would have found out picking up their phone and saying Nathan Buckley to step down. So,
because that was a blindside in a way. If you've been watching Big Brother, that's what basically happened there at the Fremantle Football Club.
It did. But so this circumstance, completely different. In season, the players, there would be kind of three little plots or three little situations for players. Yeah, I think young players just, you know, they're pretty bouncy and they just get on with it. They'll be like, oh, this is...
He wasn't getting a game anyway.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. Or they were getting a game and they just back their own ability in, or they're not getting a game. Oh, new coach, yeah, they're going to play me. Those kind of established players are the, you know, DeGoeys, the Roughheads, you know, the Grundys would be the most fascinating watch. The way they would have a real allegiance to Nathan Buckley because they've been there for some time. But at the same time, they would understand, okay, professionally, this happens. I've got to understand my own situation and this is probably going to be good for the club. Let's get on with it. Then there's the other group, the guys that are even more so connected to Nathan Buckley, I would say like Chris Mayne, Levi Greenwood, these guys that are veterans that are essentially on their last legs.
Probably been brought in by Buckley as well.
They've been brought in. They're on their, you know, they're past 30. They're going to struggle for what is beyond AFL this year. So they would sit there and that's the real sign of mortality, football mortality for probably a small group of these players, where the younger group would just get on with it in that middle tier. Again, they've got to show some real leadership and stoicism and get on with it as well.
So what about at the Carlton Football Club? Dil, you've got some mates there. And there's been discussion, and Johnny Ralph from the Herald Sun brought this up here on RSN Central yesterday, that they've got a situation where there might be some players they might have been asked, or they went to board members and had a chat about what they think, what's going on at the footy club. Have you ever been put in that situation where you've had board members go to you, how's things going, mate? Or how do you think the coach is going?
Being a 39 game superstar, that does, you'd think that would happen, but it didn't for me personally. I don't think they really cared on
my
opinion
too much.
No, not really. They were asking me about the development coaches maybe and the VFL coach for next year, but not so much a senior one. But no, it definitely does happen. Those big players, your Cripps, Doherty's, these guys in the leadership group, they'd be having those conversations for sure. But it's so hard to contextualise that in a time when it's so hard. Like, yes, you're happy with the coach, but no one's happy to be losing. So, like, what? How do you answer that? Like, it's, I don't know what they'd be saying unless they are confident in the path that it's on.
What do you go, if you're disgruntled there at the Carlton Football Club, Mick, would you go to Luke Sayers, or would it be awkward if Luke Sayers, who's the next president, he's not president just yet, but he'll be president at the end of the season, would you say, well, I don't think this is working with David Teague? Where do you draw the line? Because there's some say that, well, if there's been people talking badly of David Teague at the Carlton Football Club, they should be out of the door straight away.
Yeah.
Where do you sit
with
this?
Well, I had a personal situation at the Gold Coast when Rocket was, you know, on a nice edge whether he would go on or stay, and Mark Evans had come in, and you know, there was full clarity that there was going to be a process. Players were going to have a chat to, you know, the incumbent CEO, and Rocket was fully aware. The assistant coaches were having discussions and all that. So I feel like as long as there's, you know, it's a clear and precise messaging from above that this is happening, then there's no toxicity in it at all. But if it is, okay, usher you in the side door and have a chat, oh, what do you think? Full disclosure. Because we know nowadays that element of full disclosure is nearly impossible, with how social media works and eyes and ears everywhere. So, the Carlton one, I think, is more, I suppose, poignant and more topical than what the Collingwood one is. Collingwood, in that off-season, with all the trades and their speculation around salary cap, was clearly going to be an uphill battle for them this year. Carlton have been overwhelmingly bullish that they were going to play finals. So for them to sit where they sit, playing the football they're playing, the players they've brought in, you know, Saad's been pretty good. Outside of that, not sure. So I think Carlton's more of a story, and there is more of a need for this. Okay, let's have a real discussion around what's going on. So that's my take on the Carlton
situation. I love what you said there about, though, you wouldn't want those disclosed conversations happening with the president and players that are behind closed doors, because we've spoken about this a million times in this show. I think I brought it up maybe a month ago about reactiveness in footy clubs. Mm-hmm. And you've only got to look not long ago at Brendan Gale, Damien Hardwick, Richmond Footy Club. Their number one thing was to stick by each other. And if you're having those conversations behind players' backs and these things are going, how are you meant to believe in what the process is? And I feel Carlton supporters, and me being a Carlton supporter now, I'm nothing but a fan. I love the club. That's probably what annoys me the most, is that as much as you want to go, like, yes, the club's on target, you probably don't know yet if they actually are. And I feel like Richmond didn't give that. They were just like, this is our plan. This is our 10-year plan. This is what we want to do.
I the narrative around the Mark Murphy situation, and we can come back to this after this, is really intriguing to me, because a lot of the commentary has come out that, you know, he is entitled to get 300 games.
Yeah,
it's a big boy sport, AFL footy.
Mickey Barlow, Dylan Buckley with myself, Gareth Hall, here for our footy talk on a Wednesday, thanks to Oz Equipment Rentals. Mick, what would you do with players like Mark Murphy at the Carlton Football Club?
Yeah, and I think he was underperforming at the start of the year, so he found his way out of the side, which I don't think is an issue. Now, a lot of the commentary has now come around the fact that, you know, he's close to 300 and that his loyalty needs to get repaid. No one's questioning his loyalty and his commitment to that football club. But like I was saying before the break, it's a grown-up sport and it's a professional sport with lots of money and lots of interest. And the interest is to play finals. And that's what Carlton have said they've wanted to do. And if Mark Murphy isn't in the best 22 at the moment to do that...
Do you think he is?
Well, on form, playing at high half forward, he'd find his way out. He'd be right on the cusp as a depth player right now. Now, my issue a little bit... And Mark's a great person and wouldn't have intended... to gain legs the way it did. But his comments recently were essentially putting a divide, I think, between what the players do or the players expect and how the players behave and what the coaching group say. And my point to this is, David Teague really protected his playing group across an underperforming first half of the year. And then the commentary over the past week has been, it was the coach's decision to drop me. I feel like I've probably deserved to continue playing, for what I've done for the club for a long time. So I just see a bit of a divide there in terms of, a bit of an excuse book from players. And the poor coach, and I'm a big David Teague fan, but what he needs to do now is get these bad habits out of, perceived high-performing players, like going hard at the football and defending when you're meant to defend. Get that instilled into the playing group, and if they're not doing it, out the team you go, which might be the Mark Murphy situation. It might be better for his football in the back half of this year.
Dylan, you've worked with a lot of, or interviewed some successful people, especially in the game of AFL, regarding their mindset and how they've been able to build team success. When you look at Carlton, what recommendations do you think that you would give to them? What you're seeing as a Blues supporter at the moment? Do you believe what Mick's saying that there's too many individuals in that side?
Oh, mate, it's honestly the million-dollar question, isn't it? Like, I've been at Carlton, I've been, you know, as a case study, I was at Carlton Footy Club with Brendan Bolton, and it was by far the most professional environment I've ever been in my life. Like, it was just, it was so professional. It was incredible. Not much fun, but very professional. Then I go to the Giants, one of the most lackadaisy, fun teams I've ever been to in my life. We, you know, you walk in 5 minutes late to a meeting, it doesn't really matter, it's all good. Very casual, things aren't as high stress. And they go on, yes, they lose a grand final, but they go on to win a flag.
Mm.
But then you hear of other teams that, I don't know what the right formula is. I don't think there's one formula for every team. It's just working out what's best for the group. The question is, what's best for Carlton?
Do you, in a situation that Carlton find themselves in at the moment, do the players, it sounds like it's a lot of fun there at the Giants, do sometimes that you lose sight of why you play this game for? Mm. You lose the enjoyment of playing the game a little bit.
It's not fun losing. No one will. Every player will attest to that. And for players that have been at Carlton for a long time, that's unfortunately what a lot of them know. You know, I can comment on that. It's not fun. It's not fun losing. But at the end of the day, you've got a job. Your job is to win footy, and it's a tough industry. I'm not gonna sit here and say I've got the answer. There's people that, you know, that's what they're paid to do, and hopefully. Through this, you know, series of events that they're going to take place at the club, I think they've got to find it, because it really is the last straw to find some answer. But just on the Mark Murphy piece, I did have an opinion on that, because I didn't see what he said. I didn't see what he said on the news, but I do know the character of Murph. He's an incredible bloke. He absolutely bleeds navy blue. He loves a club. My point of view on it, I don't think he, and again, I didn't hear what he said, but I don't think he would have been saying that to get to his 300, tick the box and then leave. I think it's that he still feels that he can help the club, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to play to help the club. And I think as a supporter, I look at, you know, what Mick said then, and I think, well, wouldn't I want my former skipper to be bullish about playing? Like, would I be happy with him saying, I'm happy to go back and play twos? Like, you want your leaders to still be out there and be passionate and still think that they can give. So either way he reacts, it's lose-lose. If he goes, yeah, sweet, I'm happy to just go sit back here and play in the twos, or you come out and say, no, I still want to play footy. I still think I've got good footy left in me. I want to finish off this year and see what happens. So I love the way he's gone about it. And I think he still should be playing.
I'll give you a quote, Dil. Progress is impossible without change. So the change was put Murphy out. Unfortunately, there was no VFL to go to play. I think it would have been a big statement if he goes back and plays in the reserves and you know, dominates. Because he should go out there and dominate at that level. And it's a little bit like a pressure valve. So unfortunately, the VFL hasn't happened in the last couple of weeks. So that pressure valve hasn't been able to happen. But for Carlton just to continue to float through without change, you know, there wouldn't be progress. So Mark Murphy, I'd back him in for, you know, big back. There's a fair bit on his shoulders again, like there has been for a long time.
100%.
To bring everyone along with them. Because it's not going to be, you know, with all due respect, Liam Stocker, Will Setterfield, all those, Paddy Dow. So they're still looking for that leadership and high-end players to do the roles that they've done for a long time. Mark Murphy's one of them now. Patrick Cripps is another who, again, he's the poster boy now for them with some, you know, underperforming essentially because his bar is so high. So his bar is so high that people are now thinking, oh, yeah, where's Patrick Cripps at? Is it a distraction that he hasn't signed this contract, blah, blah, blah. But there's little trends in his game at the moment. Defensive transition isn't his one wood, but he's got to get to a level at the moment where it isn't exposed on a weekly basis, which I've seen a couple of times behind the goals vision.
Just on this, Carlton have got many issues. We've been through them all today. But I'd say one thing that hasn't been brought up and it doesn't get spoken about enough, I feel, the one thing they need to do through this review, whatever it is sell to Harry Mackay and Sam Walsh that this place is going to go somewhere.
He was actually going to be my boom. Mackay signature, if they can get it. That could be the boom lift that Carlton
needs. That will fix everything. Mikey, you're a big Carlton man. That will put a smile on all of our faces. If you can sign those two players, I don't care what happens. That's A1.
Is it, and again, not to be controversial here, Sam Walsh, where's this money? That, like, because Carlton have somehow got
I don't
all this
know,
money.
Michael.
They've got all this money.
Yeah.
But the Cripps or Walsh.
I'll pay a bit.
As hard as that discussion is, Sam Walsh, the way he's playing.
He's
an All-Australian mid. He's their number one man. Yeah.
I cry watching him sometimes. Yeah. You just think, this bloke is just unbelievable.
And he tries so hard.
He tries. He just tries.
Which is a non-negotiable. I would suggest that some, for Carlton at the moment, don't. And he should be just put up on a Monday review saying, this is how you try. And we don't care about how it kind of comes out, but at least we want to see this type of effort.
We're running out of time, would you believe? Time has flown on Mick and Dylan this morning here at RSN Central. Hey, Mick, when do you think you'll be playing VFL football once again? And we've had the restrictions that will ease a little bit, but say outdoor gatherings, a maximum of 10 people, which means that it's very difficult to play a game of football with 10. But in saying that, this is what I can't quite understand. So for outdoor gatherings, a maximum of 10 people, but restaurants, cafes and pubs are reopened for seated services with up to 100 patrons per venue and up to 50 inside.
Was that what you were reading there for 5 minutes when Dylan and I were just discussing Carlton's virtues? I was just tuned out there for a sec because I was just reading an email trying to find some information for you. Okay. On the VFL.
Gareth, I heard it. I'm excited about getting out of lockdown.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
so I think that's a good answer.
It's cold out there today.
Yeah, it was cold.
Shout out to all the tradies that do a great job. look, we're scheduling to play as per its fixture this week. We've got Geelong Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock and preparing as if we're playing, understanding that, you know, this time last week the announcement got made and we knew it was off. This week, you know, there's a legitimate chance that VFL football returns.
Gareth, when you become a senior coach at and you get the handbook of like how to become a senior coach, I reckon the first rule is saying, we prepare to play this week as usual. Business as usual. That is the one thing that Michael Barlow, it's like a little nuance in his head, just keeps repeating.
And off the record, he did tell us that he's going to seriously consider putting his hand up for...
No, it's not putting his hand up, it's accepting. Yeah. It's whether he wants to accept it or not.
I'm past the putting the hand up stage. I expect him to come to me.
Dylan, what are you doing going to bear with your arch enemy for your latest podcast?
Yeah, well, look, Gareth, you know RSN family here, we're tight.
Correct.
I am scouting out some of our rivals to see how we can take them down.
Yep.
And I did have a good chat with Howie. He's a very good man, Mark Howard.
Yep.
Absolute superstar. Has done it the hard way, mate. He's had an incredible story. He's travelled the world and, you know, used to work as a cable guy, producing, cameraman, and he's worked very hard to get to where he is now. But, had a great chat with him. And, I can't disclose everything I've learned because we'll be bringing it back here.
Yep.
Feel sorry for Darren Geary. Hurts his shoulder once again.
He's my generator of the week.
Yeah.
He's got himself up time and time again. You know, he's a warrior. He's had, two broken legs. He had that immense corky, which, you know, had compartment syndrome. And that
I know how bad corkies are, Mick.
Shoulder injury. His was about 100 times worse, and he still walked off the ground. So he was my generator of the week for Oz Equipment Rent. I think he's been... Yeah, someone in the background and not really front and square of what St Kilda's been through for a long period, but the heart and soul of that football club. And, you know, it might be the last we see of him. And if so, he can, you know, be applauded and tip the hat to what a career it's been.
Dylan Buckley, Mickey Barlow, superb as always.
I want to leave you with one thing.
Yes.
Tigers win the flag.
Okay. You're that confident?
Yeah.
What price can we get for the Tigers at the moment? I think they're around $6 with the tat.
Tigers win the flag.
I reckon Shea Bolton will go to Fremantle at the end of the year as well.
Yeah.
That's completely unsourced. And just
You can't go making stuff up like that. Yeah. Who will coach Collingwood quickly? We'll see if you're any good. 12:14 at RSN Central on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, it is looking like they've got someone. And the best coach that's not coaching at the moment, you would say, is Ross Lyon. But, sorry, I just thought maybe Brad Scott.
Brad Scott, working for AFL Vic. Look, I'll go with... I'm going to sit right on the fence and say, yeah, Dill, the best coach not coaching is Ross Lyon.
So all right, then.
He should be right up the top of the tree, but he's right into his commercial real estate.
Yeah,
so he's happy.
Apparently he's doing very well.
Yeah, good on you, lads. Thanks, Mick. Thanks, Dylan.
Good on you, mate.
See you.